are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Brian Peacock, your host of Locked On 49ers. If you don't know me, formerly of Pro Football Focus, wrote for RotoWire. I used to work at KMBR, currently a radio sports and traffic reporter in the Bay Area, and also bringing you this Locked On 49ers podcast daily. This show right now, this is the offseason. This is for the true fans that don't have an offseason. You're not trying to watch college basketball right now. You're all about the NFL football. We're going to talk a little bit about the playoffs today. And you're all about the 49ers offseason is what we're going to take you through here. All offseason long, free agency, draft. We're going to take it from every single angle on the podcast here. 4 days a week in the offseason. Have tons of great guests coming your way. We'll be speaking with Matt Barrows of The Athletic tomorrow. I'm lining up Jason Fitzgerald of OverTheCap.com, who knows his cap stuff, his contract stuff, his free agent stuff as good as anybody. So that's going to be a fun one to preview free agency with Jason coming up maybe Thursday later in the week or maybe early next week. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, rate, review the show. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere you can find podcasts. You can find this program and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you got a smart speaker for Christmas, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On 49ers. And of course, follow me on Twitter. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. In fact, I've got a ton of emails. I got about a dozen here that I would like to get to today. I think I'm going to start doing mailbags every episode because I have so many that I don't get to, and I want to get to all these questions and talk about all the things you guys want to talk about. And especially in the offseason, we have more time to ruminate about some things and just think about ideas and big ideas and small ideas and get really detailed about certain things with the 49ers roster and how things are going to go here in the offseason. So we're going to get into some of that today after we talk a little playoff football. But Twitter is the best place to find me at BD Peacock and get those mailbag questions in. And I guess we got to start with the last game first, the late Sunday game, Eagles at Bears. Crazy finish with Cody Parkey's field goal attempt with 5 seconds left, dinging off the upright and the crossbar, falling into the end zone, no good. A nutty kick, and I think a lot of people went to bed Sunday upset, angry at Cody Parkey, or just taking the opportunity with no rooting interest in the Bears or Eagles, just taking the opportunity to poke at Cody Parkey being the GOAT, the guy that missed the field goal. And there's a lot of talk, and I tweeted about Robbie Gould. The Bears let him go, and maybe they are regretting that decision now. And Robbie Gould has been so good for the 49ers the last couple of years, an impending free agent, by the way. But maybe everybody moved too quickly to paint Cody Parkey as the GOAT. And late reviews of the film of that kick are now showing that it might have been tipped at the line of scrimmage. So Cody Parkey, that might have been the reason that that kick was no good. And you can see that ball take a little bit of a funky angle as it comes through the line, and then all of a sudden it spins end over end again. So that's why it looked real time that maybe it wasn't blocked, because it was moving correctly as it went through the air. It wasn't all twisting sideways through the air or anything as it headed toward that upright. But I think that it's pretty clear that it was blocked. So I think that's really going to help Cody Parkey. And Cody Parkey, being the stand-up guy that he was, faced reporters in the locker room for the Bears after the game. And, you know, all of his teammates were complimentary and said they had his back. And you could tell that one hurt him a lot. But it might sting a little bit less when they review film in the morning and they realize that that ball probably was tipped. And when that idea hopefully gets spread around the world in the football world, and Cody Parkey might not be the GOAT that people thought he was, just purely missing that all-important kick to keep the season alive for the Bears. That thing was tipped at the line of scrimmage and had at least enough with how close that was to actually going in, hitting both the upright and the crossbar. That could have easily been the difference, and probably was the difference in that being good or not. So props to, and I'm not sure who it was, I think it was maybe Hester on the Eagles that got his hand in there and got a piece of that ball. So, man, but one of the crazy things, so after all that, so Cody Parkey might be off the hook a little bit. I think if you're the Bears, you might. I mean, he missed a lot of kicks. I think he missed 10 extra points and field goals. So I think they might want Robbie Gould back anyways, but I think it's going to be hard for them to outbid the 49ers for Robbie Gould. I'm not sure what the franchise tag would be for a kicker. It's not that much. 49ers have plenty of space if they think they might actually lose Robbie Gould. I don't think there's any other guys getting the franchise tag for the 49ers right now. So maybe that's an opportunity for the Niners to make sure they keep their very good kicker next year, with which hopefully is going to be making some big kicks for the Niners, potentially playoff kicks for the 49ers in 2019 and early in 2020. So I'll ask Jason Fitzgerald of OverTheCap.com when I have him on the show coming up about some of that stuff and what a kicker would make and if it's worth franchise tagging a kicker. It seems like it would be, because I imagine he's going to be one of the higher paid guys, at least for the short term. And he's not the youngest guy, so I don't know how long of a deal he's going to get. So I think that's an easy decision, actually, if you're not going to use the franchise tag. If the franchise tag gives you a contract of the average of the top five players in your position around the league for a kicker, that's nothing if you don't want to lose the guy. But what's crazy is Robbie Gould was there. He was in Chicago at Soldier Field. He makes his offseason home in Chicago. Still lives there. His family stayed there when he moved to San Francisco to play for the Niners, because they knew there was a free agent period coming up. And so the whole family didn't move to the Bay Area. They stayed in Chicago. So maybe he would want to go back. So that's a new wrinkle, an interesting one to monitor, that I think a lot of 49ers fans didn't really pay attention to coming into this offseason. But that's a little storyline. Robbie Gould potentially could wiggle away in free agency. And I want to talk to Jason about that and the impact of possibly franchise tagging a kicker, because I think he's going to be the best kicker on the market, that's for sure. And there's a lot of teams out there that could use a good kicker, and particularly the Bears and the 49ers. So that's an interesting one. But aside from the kicking and all that stuff, it boggles the mind how two teams that mustered, what was the score, 10-6 through three quarters? They mustered 16 points through the entire game. And then somehow in the fourth quarter, both teams are like, oh, dang, this is a close game. We better go down and score. And so the Eagles are able to march all the way down the field and score on the Bears and get into the end zone. They weren't able to get that two-point conversion. The Bears then, with only a minute left, are like, oh, no problem. Let's just go boop, boop, field goal range. Like nothing. Neither team could move the ball all game long. And Mitch Trubisky put up some numbers. 26 of 43. He slung it all over the place, 303 yards, but only had one touchdown. Nick Foles had two picks and two scores. Nick Foles' team gets the W on a tipped field goal attempt as time expires. Nick Foles, his line wasn't nearly as good. His rating wasn't as good. His numbers weren't as good as Mitch Trubisky's. But Nick Foles is like the golden god that can't ever lose football games now. People are talking about trading away Carson Wentz and keeping Nick Foles on the Eagles. Mitch Trubisky, meanwhile, is going to be the guy that's like, oh, he's young, he's a bad quarterback, and he still needs to develop, and he's not ready for prime time yet. And it really, that whole idea could be completely flipped if it wasn't for a missed field goal, tipped or not, which is kind of crazy. And they both played okay, and both of those defenses played tough. So I'm not saying that Mitch Trubisky like should have won that game for the Bears because he played so amazing. You know, he played all right, and Nick Foles played all right. But you know, there wasn't, when you look at the numbers, not a huge difference between the two. They both were able to make plays and make throws, and that's the thing, is they couldn't run the ball, and neither one of those teams could run the ball. So that's 1.8 yards per carry for Philly, a little better, 3.6 yards per carry for the Bears, but some of that was 20 yards on a Taylor Gabriel run, so it wasn't really a true running game. It was only 3.5 yards per carry from Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Here's a weird thing. Tariq Cohen carried the ball one time in that football game for 0 yards. He was involved in the pass game a little bit, three catches, but I would assume that you go out to get a guy like Tariq Cohen, who's such a weapon, involved more in the game, whether it's on the ground or through the air. And he did make a big play, which was huge in that kick return to set up that field goal position where they only needed to make a few plays through the air to get in field goal range for Cody Parkey. a big kick return for Tariq Cohen there. All right, this isn't a rapid react podcast for just one playoff game here. I got to talk about some of these other playoff games and look ahead a little bit to next week's playoff matchups now that those are set. And then get to that mailbag because there's important 49ers stuff to talk about as well. And before we get to all that, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is around the corner. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure, it's not Christmas, it's the Super Bowl. It's playoff football, especially when the 49ers are involved. It'd be even more wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. By the way, the national championship game coming to the Bay Area today, Monday, we'll be playing Clemson and Bama. A ton of NFL prospects for you guys to scout during that championship game, by the way, at Levi's Stadium Monday night. 50% deposit bonus from MyBookie. Use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie. Where you play, you win, you get paid. I do feel a little bit bad for Locked On 49ers guests like Locked On Bears host Lauren Cox and Matt Golsky and Ryan Covey that joined me before the Bears week. I know a lot of people that are Bears fans and they're usually diehard, and I really thought this Bears team was going to go a little bit farther, and they've got a bright future, which is the good thing. Like, this is, the Bears are going to be a problem in the NFL for a while. But moving past the Bears now, let's go to a team that I think nobody is really sad about seeing them lose, which is the Seattle Seahawks, who lost to the Dallas Cowboys Saturday. And the only problem with that is they had to lose to the Cowboys. That's definitely one of those games where you're 49ers fans rooting interests are like, ugh, I guess you like to see the Cowboys beat the Seahawks at this point, but I don't think it feels great watching the Cowboys win either. But that was, it was kind of an ugly game. Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator for Seattle, I think he's as much or more of a goat as a play caller in that game as Cody Parkey is in Chicago right now, especially with the information that the field goal attempt was actually blocked. But just some crazy stuff in that Seahawks-Cowboys game, and Russell Wilson only throwing the ball 27 times, and they were just running the ball into a brick wall the entire game, the Seahawks were, and not putting it in their hands of their quarterback, Russell Wilson, to help make plays like he was making all game with Tyler Lockett, who had four catches for 120 yards. Keep feeding that guy. Do some rollouts, you know, let Wilson do his magic and buy that time and find Tyler Lockett down the field. Those kind of things were working. So I don't know, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, he called a pretty good game the first time the 49ers beat up on, or the 49ers got beat up on by the Seahawks, but then that sheen kind of wore off with the 49ers beating the Seahawks this season and then watching the Seahawks go down to the Cowboys. And I think a lot of people that are in 49er land over here probably won't be too upset to watch the Cowboys lose next week. But I think Brian Schottenheimer is the big goat in that game for Seattle. And the Colts continues to be a great story. Just the comeback player of the year easily is Andrew Luck. Throws another couple touchdown passes, looks really good. Definitely out-duels Deshaun Watson in that game. Deshaun Watson not looking like he's quite ready for prime time as an NFL quarterback. I think we're going to see those 2017 rookie quarterbacks in Watson and Trubisky come back strong next year, and the Texans are still a very good team if they can figure out and plug some holes on that offensive line, because that's obviously the problem. Definitely not putting that on Watson. They got to do something to help him out up front and get somebody blocking for him. I think he was sacked 60 times, the most in the NFL this year. That's pretty obvious what priority 1, 2, and 3 is for the Houston Texans in the offseason, is maybe trying to find out how they can keep Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt on the same defensive front, and then get some offensive linemen in there to protect Deshaun Watson, for God's sake. But the Colts continue to be a great story, beating the Texans 21-7. And the fourth game was the early Sunday game, Chargers and Ravens. And so many young quarterbacks made the playoffs. It's like the old hats in, you got Brady, you got Rivers, you got Breeze in there, and then this in, and Russell Wilson. Then you got this influx of young talent, Lamar Jackson and Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, and of course the young guy that I think's not going to fizzle out because just playing at a ridiculous level, had a bye in week one with the Kansas City Chiefs, is Patrick Mahomes. And so, and I have a little soft spot for Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if we talked about this before on the program, but I saw Pat Mahomes Sr. I saw Patrick Mahomes' dad. Well, apparently I saw it. I don't really remember it, but I was at a Visalia Oaks baseball game. The Oaks were a single-A baseball team. At that time, they were the Twins' single-A team. Patrick Mahomes was a hotshot prospect. He came through Visalia, so I don't remember it. But as a kid, I watched a game at Recreation Park in Visalia and saw Patrick Mahomes' dad pitch for the Visalia Oaks. So that just makes me like Patrick Mahomes more, and he's an easy guy to like. And his talent, his arm is ridiculous and it's fun to watch. So that's a team that I hope goes far because I just want to keep seeing them play. Really, Drew Brees is another one. I hope he continues to go. And I would love to see Phillip Rivers get his ring. And he's played in the NFL a long time, and a lot of his contemporaries have their rings, and Phillip Rivers doesn't. And I think that's game of the week next week, is Chargers and Patriots. And after the game Sunday, Phillip Rivers even talked about, he's like, yeah, I remember 2007. It was the last time, AFC Championship game, losing to the Patriots. If Rivers would be able to knock off Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, be a big step in getting there. So kind of rooting for Phillip Rivers. I think he deserves it. He's had a great career, and that's really the thing that would, because people, all these guys are going to be like, oh, Hall of Famer, I'm not sure. Eli's going to get in. He's got two rings. I think Rivers has been a better quarterback. He doesn't have the rings. He gets that one ring. He's a Hall of Famer. Boom, done. He's in. Ben's already going to be in. Eli's already going to be in. Obviously, Breeze and Brady are going to be in. So all those guys are probably going to be Hall of Fame quarterbacks because in the NFL, everybody gets in anyways. And I don't really care about the Hall of Fame. But for Phillip Rivers, it's a good story. I would like to see Phillip Rivers go far and potentially win. And I've always rooted for Drew Brees. I've always loved him. So that's going to be a fun one there. And I picked the Saints preseason. I'm sticking with the Saints on the NFC side. The AFC side, my team before the season was the Texans that I had going. A little bit of a dark horse there. But now it's Chargers and Chiefs, I think, are the teams you'd like to see go. Everyone's tired of the Patriots, but they're going to be in it. It gets tough, man. Things get very difficult here in the divisional round next week. It's going to be very interesting. You're talking about that Chargers at Patriots game. You've got Eagles at Saints. The Cowboys at the Rams, which, just like last week with Cowboys and Seahawks, it's one of those where the 49ers fans are thinking, "Now, why can't they both lose, right?" So one of them are going to advance, and then Colts and Chiefs, which is going to be another fantastic game. So next week is looking like a good schedule. It's going to be a fun weekend of football, Saturday and Sunday. All right, enough looking at the haves around the league. Let's look at the have-nots, which is our own San Francisco 49ers here, who I think can quickly become the haves next year. But how are they going to get there? Let's dip into that mailbag after a short break and get into some of those ideas. Let's start with our old friend Sully here on the mailbag, and an easy question based on the 49ers' needs. Are there any players you think they should avoid, a.k.a. players with high bust potential or Reuben Foster type problems? Right now, I haven't dove too much into those ideas. And you know, look, number two overall, it's one of those things where it's like you pick two guys if one of those two best guys is your pick. And there's going to be a lot of players, kind of like Solomon Thomas was a few years ago. I had Solomon Thomas 12 overall. I thought the 49ers should have gone a different direction. I like Trubisky, Watson, and Jamal Adams. That was the group of players I had in that first tier that the 49ers, I thought, should have been picking from at pick two, or after they traded down to pick three after Myles Garrett went number one overall. Those were my group of top four players that I hoped the 49ers would be picking from early in the draft. And it's not that I didn't like players behind them. I just had a clear tier right there. And so it's going to be easy this year, and I'm not done. And there may be someone could jump into that tier, but the 49ers are picking second. Right now, I think there's far and away two best players in the draft are Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle from Alabama, who's going to be on display today in the national championship game. Those are the guys. So everybody else, I think, maybe might be a reach. And when you mentioned Reuben Foster, yeah, the reason he wasn't up there, he would have been in that group for me in 2017, but the character stuff. And when it comes to that, I think they absolutely should and would and will avoid any big-time character issues. Guys with character problems, I would be blown away if they draft any of those guys, even mid-rounds, maybe sixth, seventh round, undrafted free agent to bring in some guys because it wouldn't hurt them as much. But even then, it's like I would be blown away if they even sniffed anybody with character problems early in the draft. So that's a definite non-starter with what's going on with the 49ers right now. That's definitely not going to happen. And that extends to free agency as well. Frank Clark, he hasn't had any problems that I know of since he's been in the NFL, but he's got domestic violence stuff going back to his college days, which is why he fell a little bit in the draft. When he came out, I don't think the Niners are going to touch that, even though he would be a great fit for the 49ers with his skill set, and he already plays the position with the Seahawks in the same scheme. Frank Clark is someone you can take off your list. I think it would be very surprising if they went down that road, or anybody who has that kind of stuff in their past. But to answer your question solely, when it comes to actual guys who I think are going to be draft busts, it's too early to put that label on guys right now. I've seen stuff that I don't like and people I don't think should go necessarily as high as number two, but that doesn't mean I think they're going to be terrible or don't have merits and aren't going to be good players potentially or have potential to be great players. But when we get closer to the draft, I'll definitely have some strong opinions about guys that I would not touch for the 49ers early or even in the middle of the draft. Nelson has a question about the Senior Bowl, and I think that's something that we've kind of underreported. That's an exciting thing for the 49ers, and to get that jump and to see some players face-to-face and get to know some guys, because I think you can learn a lot coaching somebody that you might not learn from just watching the film and even interviewing them from 5 minutes, you know, with a position coach really getting into a guy. I'll never forget, what was it, the 2007 Senior Bowl? Mike Singletary was in the end zone coaching linebackers, and Patrick Willis was there. And there was this one drill where it was light him up, I think is what Singletary would say. Light him up. And what all the linebackers would be in the end zone, and they would just have to go, you know, rapid fire with their feet and just pump their feet, pump their feet, pump their feet. And he would have them going forever. And then to tell them to drop down, they'd go down to like a push up, jump back up, and then run the feet again. And he'd have them going until they gassed. And all the linebackers, there's 10 of them in the end zone doing this drill. They're like dropping like flies, you know, and all of a sudden their technique would get bad and their body language would get bad. And then they'd kind of slow down or stop and some guys fall over. Patrick Willis, last one standing, he's perfect form, head up, butt down, pumping away at this drill. And I'm watching Mike Singletary running Patrick Willis through this drill. And it was pretty apparent that Patrick Willis is going to be the top linebacker in the draft that year. But that was before he had run his crazy 40 time and sort of cemented that early first round ranking. And it was like, oh, that's going to be the 49ers pick right there. Just watching that happen. So there's going to be moments, I think, and we'll probably overblow some of them. And I don't know if that was the moment that the 49ers and Mike Singletary fell in love with Patrick Willis, but there's going to be some opportunities for 49ers coaches to really get in the heads of some of these guys and see how they work, see how they practice, which is really an important factor. And you don't want to overrate it either. Remember when the 49ers drafted Kentuan Ballmer because he had a good like two practices at the Senior Bowl, then got hurt and then was kind of out of the process. So a lot of teams forgot about him and they thought they got this steal of a monster of a player because he looked good in two practices. And they're like, oh yeah, he's fat and lazy, doesn't care about ball or whatever. Sorry, Kentuan, if you're listening to the program, I don't remember what the reasons were. There were some injuries, I think, there. But, Kentuan Ballmer wasn't great. Like, you can't overrate this 1 week, but you can learn a lot from it, and all the teams are going to learn a lot from it. But I think the teams coaching it, the Raiders and the 49ers, Niners get the South squad, I think they can learn a lot. And to answer Nelson's question about specific players, there's a lot of players that have accepted their Senior Bowl invites, but so many players drop out. I'm getting worried a bunch of them are, especially someone like Josh Allen, who will probably play for the South squad. That's number one, obviously, is Josh Allen, who is a big-time edge guy. And I think it's going to be one of the pieces that would help me and help him solidify maybe a top 10, top 5, maybe number 2 overall value as an edge guy is starting at the Senior Bowl, going there with one-on-ones, dominating one-on-ones, taking to coaching, showing that he can add some other techniques to his pass rush repertoire, which I think would be really important. And it would help me because there's some things I don't see on tape that if you could start to see that and you could be like, okay, yeah, now I see this. To go with his athleticism and watch him dominate in practices in the game, that would be a huge piece for him. And then after that, going to the combine and going through workouts and dominating there and showing that he's a physical freak. And then it's like, okay, there's too much to work with. You got to take this guy number 2 overall. That would be huge for Josh Allen. to prove all of that. But a lot of guys, when you start talking about a guy being a top of the first round player, they usually bail out on the Senior Bowl. So I kind of expect Josh Allen won't be there, but it'd be awesome if he did go. Jalen Ferguson is another. Jalen Ferguson was even more productive than Josh Allen was as an edge guy in college. Louisiana Tech, I think he had 42 sacks in his career or something like that. Dude was ridiculous. So that's one I really want to see there. There's a guy named O'Shane Zimenez, who's an edge guy from Old Dominion, is another one I'm interested in. But there's a lot of guys. And so we'll see what the final rosters actually look like when the guys who decide to actually play and accept their invites show up. And we will definitely be breaking down more Senior Bowl stuff, by the way, here on the program as we get closer to that game on January 26th. Let's go to Shane via email, who, first of all, he offers to be my intern. I talked about I needed an intern of a couple of shows ago. Thank you for the offer, Shane. I don't think I'm going to bring anybody on yet, but I'm going to keep you in mind if I do decide to bring somebody on to help me out with my Instagrams and all that. He says, swap the 6 for the 2 and OBJ and a 4 in 2020. Let's see. Swap the 6 for the 2 and OBJ and a 4 in 2020. So the 49ers go from 2 to 6 because the Giants move up for quarterback and the Giants give up Odell Beckham and a 4 in 2020 to go from 6 to 2. Is that what I'm seeing here? Or do the 49ers throw a 4 back to get OBJ and move back to number 6 from number 2? I'm not sure who's given the 4 by the way this is worded. But, you know, and with Jalen Ramsey, it's been talked about a lot, too. I don't know if these players are going to actually be available, but, you know, those kind of trades make sense. You know, value-wise, it kind of makes sense. But so if you separate it, so what would it cost? What are the Giants going to ask for if they just traded for Odell and the other stuff wasn't involved? Would they ask for number 2 straight up? Probably. Would the 49ers give up number 2 overall? I don't think they would, but you could leverage number 2 into a couple of draft picks. So I think what the Giants would say is like, okay, look, we would be asking for 2 first round draft picks. So what we will do is we go up from number 6 to number 2, and that would cost us also the pick that we're giving you. Number 6 and a future first. So those two things are it costs 2 firsts to go up to 2, or it costs 2 firsts to get OBJ. So, you know, that kind of makes sense. And the same with Jalen Ramsey. I don't think either player is going to be available. And I also think that it's more likely for Jalen Ramsey, I think, in this situation, just because of the cap stuff with Odell Beckham and his newer contract. But maybe if no trades happen here, maybe the 49ers trade down with another team. Then you can make that trade later. We've talked about it on the podcast where the 49ers could, in the summer, after trading down and gaining maybe a future first-round pick in the draft, then they would have a couple of extra picks to trade. And first of all, I don't know if I would trade 2 first-round picks for Odell. I don't think I would. I wouldn't trade as much for Odell as I would have for Khalil Mack. But this is going to be an interesting offseason because there's so many veteran players that could be available. There's Jalen Ramsey. There was a Schefter report, and thank you to whoever that was who linked me to the Schefter report, because I had forgotten where the Ramsey stuff came from, because there's always so many rumors that came out about different guys. There's the Odell, there's Antonio Brown, which it's looking more and more likely that the Steelers will try to trade him before the new league year on March 13th, I believe it is, or whenever it is that Antonio Brown's going to be due a roster bonus of like $2.5 million. So basically people are thinking that they're going to trade him before that if they trade him. So Antonio Brown, there's now the latest one that John Elway's going to listen to offers for Von Miller. So all very interesting pieces, big time playmakers for the 49ers. I just not sure who's actually going to be available there. And most of the times when teams do trade up, it's all picks for picks, or maybe there's a throw in of a player that doesn't have nearly the value that someone like Jalen Ramsey or Odell Beckham has. So I don't know. I'm not allowing myself to get wrapped up in those ideas because I still think they're not very likely, but not impossible either. It is interesting, though, that 3 of the big name players and the teams of the players that these big names are getting thrown out there, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey, Odell Beckham, are all teams that people speculate might be interested in moving up for a quarterback in the draft, and they're all in that 5 to 10 range. So that is very interesting. Okay, I'm going to finish it off here real quick with a question from Patrick via email. He said he listens to the show almost every morning with his 8-year-old son, Pierce, which is awesome. So shout out to Patrick. Shout out to Pierce for listening to the show. I love it. Pierce is also a huge 49ers fan. He attended his first game this season when the 49ers beat the Broncos. Okay, so Pierce is also a good luck charm. Over the summer, we moved to the Bay Area and to Davis, and he also became a UC Davis Aggies fan. And his favorite player is wide receiver Keelan Doss. So the question here is about late round sleeper wide receiver Keelan Doss. I got to be honest, Patrick and Pierce, I have not watched any UC Davis film or Keelan Doss. I have a lot of friends. My wife went to UC Davis, so she'll be excited about that. Maybe we'll kick on the Keelan Doss film together and I'll get her pumped on a late round sleeper wide receiver for the 49ers. Pierce goes on to take over this email and give a little scouting report. He's a 6'3", 206-pound wide receiver that gets yards after the catch like George Kittle. Okay, I'm interesting. I'm liking what I'm hearing there. Over the last 3 years, he has 299 catches for 3,744 yards and a whopping 27 touchdowns. If you evaluate potential wide receivers on your show, give him a look. He might see if he's a good fit in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Thank you so much, Patrick and Pierce. I'm definitely writing down Keelan Doss's name. I've heard the name, actually, and so it's not the first time I've heard the name, so he's got a little bit of buzz. And I believe he is, yeah, you know where I saw his name recently? Keelan Doss was invited to the Shrine Game, so that's a big opportunity for Keelan Doss. And with that kind of production, you got to believe he's on NFL teams' radar. So I'm excited now to watch more of Keelan Doss, and I'll give you guys the official scouting report. And I'm going to leave you with some audio that came across my Twitter timeline Sunday night, which by the video apparently was some sort of a Nelly concert. It was Jimmy Garoppolo and Richard Sherman on stage with Nelly, but they were singing a Montel Jordan song. I didn't see Montel in the picture anywhere, but what you cannot, and you can hear Jimmy Garoppolo and Richard Sherman on the mic here in this clip, and you can hear someone that sounds like Montel, and I don't know why Nelly is doing this song. It seems like a karaoke situation is what it looks like here. I don't know if it's an actual concert or not. But what you cannot hear is the sweet dance moves from George Kittle, who was also there, but he was in the background, did not have a microphone. Jimmy G not showcasing the moves that George Kittle was. Don't know if that's due to his internal rhythm, which is possible, or the recovery from ACL, which it didn't look like he re-injured on stage, which is good. So I'll leave you with this. Nelly on stage with Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, and Richard Sherman doing a Montel Jordan song for some reason in Las Vegas. I don't even know what that was. Just some young rich dudes having a good time kicking off their offseason and a little time off for those guys who just battered their bodies for the last few months. So get on them. Go have a good time and come back mentally prepared to grind on this thing in 2019. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. Going to have Matt Barrows of The Athletic tomorrow. Then, of course, some Winky Wednesday action right here on Locked On 49ers.